All right, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas, daf Tzadi. We are going to start from Peites Amud Beis at the Mishnah towards the Manam of the Yomah. Today we're going to finish up the ninth perek of the Masechta. First, we're going to continue generally in the discussion of the mechanics for collecting a ksuba. The first mission that we're going to cover today is going to discuss how many ksubas you collect, if there were two ksubas that are presented, and two gittin, or two ksubas and one get, or a get and a misa and one ksuba, how many times the woman can collect the monetary payment in the ksuba. The perek is going to conclude with a mishnah about a katan whose father marries him off with a ksuva, whether that ksuva takes effect once the katan becomes a gadol. Then that's going to conclude the ninth perek, and then the tenth perek is going to begin with a rather complicated discussion of the Yerusha, if a person married two wives and both of those wives have kids. In other words, the guy himself has two sets of Yorshim, and then he dies. The order and the amount of payment of the ksuvos for the various women, for his two wives, for wife one and wife two, as well as the money that could be collected by the yarshim of wife one and wife two. So we'll see that discussion, God willing, starting in the middle of Tzadi Amud Aleph, and that discussion is going to carry well into, in fact, the entirety of Amud Beis and into tomorrow's daf as well. So let's start from the mission at the bottom of Peites Amud Beis. Shnei gittin v'shnei ksuvos. If a woman comes and collect and presents two gittin and two ksuvos, so gova shtei ksuvos. So then she could collect two ksuvos. So when Rashi explains, because obviously what happened here was that the woman was married twice and divorced twice. So if the woman was married twice, one time with a ksuva and then divorced, if the woman, let's say the first marriage was with a ksuva, then the husband divorced her, she's entitled to the payment of the ksuva on account of the first marriage and the divorce from the first marriage. And then if she gets married again to the guy, again with another ksuva, and then gets divorced, then she's entitled to the payment of a second ksuva on account of the second marriage and the divorce from the second marriage. So Rashi qualifies this, though, and Rashi says, if you look at the first Rashi on the Mishnah, he says that Zman, the little bays, it points to the Bach, where it's the word Ksuva. So Zman Ksuva Rishona Kodem Lezman Get Rishon, Vizman Ksuva Shnia Kodem Leget Sheni. That we're talking in a case where just sequentially in terms of timing, the first Ksuva was dated before the first Get, and the second Ksuva was dated after the first Get, but before the second Get. And therefore, the picture that the dates of the Shtaros is painting for us is that she was married with Ksuva number one, then divorced, then she was married with Ksuva number two, and then divorced again. So, and then if you look at the second Rashi, Govesh Te Ksuvos, Sharei Girsha Vechzira V'kasa V'la Ksuva Shnia, because he divorced her, then he took her back, and wrote a second Ksuva to go together with the second marriage. Aval Kidmu Shtei Ksuvos L'get Rishon, however, Rashi says that that's only, again, if the dates work out like we've been discussing. However, if the date in both ksuvos precede the date in the first get, then lo, sharei kishechzira lo kasav laksuva, because then it turns out that he wrote two ksuvos for some reason on the first marriage, but no ksuvos on the second marriage. And then when he married her the second time, he evidently married her al das the ksuva harishona, al das the first ksuva that he had written. V'tanan b'seifa, shnei ksuvos v'get eina gove ela achas, and we are going to learn at the end of the Mishnah that if you have two ksuvos and a get, then you only get to collect, then the woman is only allowed to collect one time. Why? Shalmanas ksuva rishona chzira, because the husband took her back, almanas being somech on the first ksuva, not intending to obligate himself to payment of a second ksuva here. So again, the first clause of the Mishnah, you have two ksuvas, two gittin. If the zmanim in the ksuva precede the zmanim in the gittin, so the zmanim work out ksuva gek, ksuva get, then the woman is entitled to payment of two ksuvas. But shtei ksuvas v'get echad, if you have two ksuvas and one get, and in other words, both the zmanim and both ksuvas precede the zman and the get, o ksuva v'shnei gittin, or if you have one ksuva and two gittin, o ksuva v'get umisa, or if you have one ksuva and then the woman presents a get, and we know the husband died, then ein agova ela ksuva achas, she only gets to collect the ksuva one time. Why? Shemagarish is ishto v'echzira, because if a person divorces his wife and then takes her back as his wife, almanas ksuva rishona machzira, then he's taking her back. Then he's taking her back. Almanas the ksuva harishona. that he's taking her back, intending that he's only going to be mechayev himself the first time. The Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah and the Shita Mekubetza say that this is only true if the first ksuva hasn't been paid. So in other words, let's say if a guy's married and then he's divorced, he hasn't yet paid the ksuva, then he marries his ex-wife again, then we could say that he's marrying her al das, that the ksuva harishona should take effect. However, if the guy gives his wife a ksuva and then divorces her, and then he pays the ksuva, and then he wants to take her back, then the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah say, no, not so fast. In that case, he can't be somech al das the ksuva rishona, because the ksuva rishona has already been paid off. But the chiddush of the Mishnah is that if the guy remarries his ex-wife without writing a set, if a guy remarries his ex-wife without actively writing a second ksuva, then he has in mind that the ksuva rishona, the initial ksuva, should go on the second marriage as well, and therefore, even if the woman is divorced a second time from her husband, she can only collect a single ksuva. So says the Gemara that Iboy Bahai Gavya, Viboy Bahai Gavya. So do you mean to say that if this is going on the second case in the Mishnah where we said Shtei Ksuvos V'Get Echad, if the woman presents two Ksuvos and one Get, then she could collect only once. But the Mashmos is that she can collect with either Ksuva, with any Ksuva that she wants to. Now the thing with a Ksuva is we know that a Ksuva is Shibud Karkos, because the Ksuva, the husband is Mechuyev to pay the Ksuva even from any Karkos. The woman could be torn from Lekuchos, so the shtar gives the woman a great power, because the shtar gives the woman the ability to give the woman the ability to collect from properties that were sold even before the divorce, so long as the properties were sold after the time that the ksuva was written. So the mashmaos is, if you have two ksuvas, one was written in the year 2000, one was written in the year 2005, the woman could collect with either ksuva that she wants, including from a lokeach who bought karka from the husband in the year 2002 before the shibud in the second ksuva went in effect, because the shibud in the first ksuva went in effect. But is that really the case? Says the Gemara, lema tavi tufta de Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Maybe it's a kasha, let's say it's a kasha in Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Demar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, because Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel says, shnei shtaros hayotzen bezeh achar zeh, that if you have two shtaros that are yotzei zeh achar zeh, what does that mean? It means that there are two shtaros and the date in one follows the date in the other. So you have two shtaros, one dated in the year 2000, and the other dated in the year 2005, Bitel Sheni Esarishon, that the second one is Mavato the Rishon, that the one dated in 2005 is Mavato the one dated in 2000, meaning that the guy doesn't have an option to come collect from properties that were sold between the Zman and the first star and the Zman and the second star, because the guy is saddled with dealing with the Zman in the second star. So how come our Mishnah is Mashma, that if the woman is coming with two Ksubas, she gets to collect, yeah, she gets to collect only once, but that she can get to collect with either ksuva of her choosing? That's not true. So says the Gemara, of course it's true. Because lavit mar Allah, Amar Rav Papa, Moda Rav Nachman, Di'i Osef Bey, Dikla Litosefes Kasfei, that if the person added an extra addition in the second iteration of the shtar, then it's obvious that the second one was written because of this Tosefes. In other words, if it was talking about a shtar mechira, if the person adds, let's say, an extra dekel, an extra palm tree, or talking about a ksuva, if the guy's adding a certain monetary value, right? The ksuva has a certain monetary value, either money or Messiah, and then we've been talking in the past couple of days that he can add a Tosefes also. So if in the second ksuva he adds an additional Tosefes that's not found in the first ksuva, then he obviously intended to augment the power of the shtar. So achanami b'da'osifla. So also over here we're talking about a case where he added first. So now says Rashi. So now what? So he added first. So what does that entitle her to do? So Rashi says, well, in that case she has to pick her poison, so to speak. She could either collect with the earlier shtar and therefore be Torif Milakukos, who bought after the Zman of the earlier shtar. So in other words, it gives her more of a strong arm power to reach back and to collect from properties that were transferred after the Zman of the first shtar. Or she could collect from the Zman of the second shtar, and forget about those Lekuchos who bought properties before the Zman of the second shtar, but she can collect the greater amount that's reflected in the shtar, because again, the second shtar reflects a slightly greater amount than is reflected in the first shtar. So she could collect with either one. So yeah, that's what our Mishnah is talking about. She could collect with either one, because we're talking about where you have two Ksuvos, different Zmanim, but the second Ksuva added a little property, added a little money that the first one didn't cover. So Tana Rabbanan, Hasiyu get v'ksuva umisa, if the woman presents a get and a ksuva, and the husband died, so im get kodem l'ksuva, so if the get comes before the ksuva, so gova shte ksuvas, then in that case she could collect two ksuvas. Why can't she collect two ksuvas? Because the get is dated before the ksuva, and therefore on the first marriage, she's entitled to the ksuva. Why? She doesn't have a shtar, because Rashi points out again, ksuva is a tanai basin, so she could collect the ksuva even without a shtar. Then the guy married her a second time, wrote her a ksuva, and again, we had said that if a person remarries his wife, he marries her almanas the ksuva rishona, that's only if he doesn't write her another ksuva, and only if the ksuva wasn't paid already. But if the ksuva was paid already, then he cannot be somech on the ksuva rishona, he has to write a new ksuva. Then the husband died, so in that case, she gets the first ksuva al sinai basin, she gets the second ksuva for the second marriage because she has the ksuva, so she gets to collect twice. But ksuva kodemes leget, but if the ksuva was written, if the ksuva is dated before the date in the get, then ain't a gova el ksuva achas, then she only gets to collect once. Why? Shemagaris eshisto vechzira, because if a person divorces his wife and then takes her back, almanas ksuva rishona echzira. He takes her back, almanas ksuva rishona, and that's again just what was mentioned, just what was mentioned in the Mishnah. So long as the first ksuva wasn't paid, then if a person takes his wife back again in a second marriage, he intends to do so on the strength and on the power of the first ksuva, and therefore he only owes his wife a single ksuva. Good, says the last mission of the parak. So katan sheyasiu aviv. If you have a katan, if you have a minor child whose father married a moav, the mafarshim are cholik here whether the son was actually bal his wife or not, because if a minor is bal his wife, then that's considered a bias nos. But either way, you have a katan whose father married her off and also wrote a ksuva in connection with his marriage. In other words, he obligated his son in a ksuva. So ksuvaso kayemes, then her ksuva is kayemes. So what does it mean, ksuva kayemes? It means after he attains the age of majority, after he becomes an adult, then the ksuva is kayem. Why? Shalmanas kein kayma, because it was being somech on the condition of that original ksuva that he actually then ultimately did have bia when he became an adult. So again, the kid gets married when he's a minor. All those actions are really meaningless, so there's no kedusha midaraisa. However, once he becomes an adult, then presumably he has another bia. That bia that he has with his wife is a bia l'shem kedushin, and when he's bal his wife l'shem kedushin, he has in mind that the kedushin and the nesuin, which is now midaraisa, should latch on to the ksuva that was written when he was still a minor. So gershon is gaira ishto imo. Similarly, a ger, a convert whose wife converts with him, so ksuvasa kayemes. And for some reason, we're talking about a case where the ger got married to his wife and has a ksuva when he was still a guy, before he became a Jew, but Gershon is Gaira Ishto Imo, Ksuvasa Kayemes, her Ksuva is Kayem. Why? Shalmanas Kein Kayma, because it was on condition that the Ksuva be Mekuyam, that she actually then continued to remain married to him after they both became Jewish. So says the Gemara, Samaravuna Lo Shanu Elamana umasayim. What do we mean that ksuvasa kayemes? What do we mean that the original ksuva continues to take effect either after the gerus or after the fellow becomes an adult and then is bal his wife l'shem kedushin? That's only talking about the mana umasayim. That's only talking about the ikur ksuva. Aval tosefes einla, but she does not get to collect the tosefes. She does not get to collect the tosefes ksuva, and Rashi explains the reason that she doesn't have the tosefes is why, because really meikar adin this ksuva is nothing, because the ksuva was written for and was shayich to a marriage that was not at all valid on a daraisa level. The fact that, okay, yeah, when he was bal her abilas mitzvah, when he was bal her abilas bias kedushin, he had in mind that it should attach to the original ksuva, that only has any power with respect to the ikur ksuva, which is tanai basin. And again, if it's tanai basin, we've seen that a woman could collect the ksuva even without a paper ksuva at all, because it's a tanai basin. That's the strength of a tanai basin. However, the tosefes is not a tanai basin. The tosefes is elective. It's in the husband's discretion, and he could decide that he's going to give whatever amount he wants to give to the wife. but whatever amount he wants to give is only being given on the power of the shtar. But the shtar, says Rashi, is chaspa bialma. So that's why when he later is baal his wife and has in mind that it should be on the condition and be somech on the initial ksuva, that's only legabe the ikur ksuva, but not legabe the tosefes ksuva. Rav Yehuda Amar, afilo tosefes yeshla, and Rav Yehuda says that he gets even the tosefes, she gets even the tosefes. In other words, whatever was written in the shtar, that's what the woman gets, because almanas kain, almanas, whatever was written in the shtar, kima. Okay, so meisveis, afark the gemara, chidsho, if he added something into the ksuva, when he became Jewish or when he became an adult, then noteles masha chitcho. Then she takes what he added. She takes what was mechudish there. So chitcho in lo chitcho lo. So the inference is that she gets to collect only the ikur and that little incremental that he added, but she does not get to collect anything besides the ikur and that little incremental that was added. In other words, she doesn't get to collect the first tosefes, which was written down in the original ksuva. So says the Gemara, no, ema af mashachicho. Maybe what it means is that she gets to collect both the ikur and the tosefes, and the a little additional incremental that he added into the second ksuba. So you have no raya from here. Vahalo tani hachi, chitsho noteles mashe chitsho. But don't we have a brisa that says that if he adds a little bit after he reaches the age of adulthood, or after he is nisgayer, then she gets to collect what he added. But lo chitsho, if he didn't add anything to the ksuba, then besula gova masayim v'almane mane, then the besula gets to collect 200 and almana gets to collect a mane. So it's obvious that she only gets to collect the ikur ksuva and not the tosefes that was written in the original ksuva. She would only, in this case, get to collect the ikur ksuva and that little additional chiddush. So says the Gemara, Tiyufta de Rav Yehuda, Tiyufta of de Rav Yehuda. It's a kasha on Rav Yehuda, you're right. But, and then explains the Gemara, the Rav Yehuda masnisenatise. Rav Yehuda was stumbled by the Mishnah. He made a mistake on account of his misinterpretation of the Mishnah. Hu savar ksuvasa kayemes akulamil sakai. Because he thought that when it says in our Mishnah, katan shasiya aviv ksuvasa kayemes, that it means that the ksuva is mekuyim. It means that the entire ksuva, both the ikur and the tosefes, is mekuyim. But it's not true. Velohia ikur ksuva koi. It's only going on the ikur ksuva and not on the tosefes ksuva at all. So it says Tosfos over here, the first Tosfos on the page, says Vim Tomer Im Kain Mai Kamash Malar Masnisen. What's our Mishnah telling us? Shal Menas Kain Kaima Afilu Lo Kosov Lami Olam Yesh La Ksuva. That basically Tosfos's kasha is, what's the chiddush that if the father writes his son a ksuva when he's a minor, and then he sticks with his wife after he becomes an adult, then when he performs the B'as Mitzvah with his wife after he becomes an adult, then she can collect on the strength of the original ksuva. So Rashi Satosva says, if you're talking only about the Ikr ksuva, you're not talking about the Tosefes in the ksuva, then you don't even need there to be a ksuva, because what have we been saying the whole time? That for any marriage, you have a ksuva midin tanai basin. Even if you don't have a paper ksuva, you still have a ksuva midin. They didn't deny based in. Shamanas can kima filu lakosov lamiolam yesh laksuva. Vilukalamimar dashmina the turf of mimishabdi, afagab de lesle, kalalai shtara, valkarkok logavdi mimishabdi de mukudamu. So Tosfa says, oh, if you want to tell me that the chiddush is that you could collect from lakuchos, from the zman of the original shtar, says Tosfa, that's not true, because you could only collect from lakuchos, from the zman of the original shtar, when the shtar was valid originally. Here the shtar wasn't valid originally, it took effect when he became an adult and actually then married her on a daraisa level. So v'yaseh litrof lekuchos mashamachar kodem shenizgayra v'apatrapas kodem sheigdil. So says Tosos v'yesh lomar dashmina nehecha denasa besula afa gav deshegidla deshegadla onizgayra kvar hi beula afilo ochi yesh laksuva masayim shamanas ken kaima sheyachshav ketchilas nisuel. Tosos says that there's still a chiddush. Even if you want to tell me that all the guy gets to collect is the ikur ksuba, there's still a chiddush. Why? Because again, the first star is really meaningless. What we're saying is he gets to collect midin tanai basin. But din tanai basin is that a besula is a masayim and a ba'ula is a mane. So Tosfos is assuming here that between the time that he got married and the time that he becomes an adult, even though his bia would be a bia's nus, he still was ba'al her. So if he was ba'al her already and she's a ba'ula, really I would think that the ksuba should only be a mane, because at the time when the biblical marriage took effect, she was a bula, and therefore the Tanai based in Ksuva only would have been a man and not Masayim, Kamash Malan, because she has in mind that it goes on the Ksuva, she still gets the Iker Ksuva of a Basula of Masayim, even though now when the Ksuva actually takes effect Midaraisa, it would only be the Iker Ksuva would only be a mana. So Hadron Alacha Kosev Lishta, we'll start now the 10th parak of the Masechta. So Misha Haya Nasui Shtei Nashim. If a person was married to two women, Umeis, and he dies. So Rishona Kodemes Lishnia. So the first one comes before the second one when it comes to collecting the ksuva. The Gemara is going to say we're obviously talking about a case where the guy's estate is not sufficiently large to accommodate payment of both ksuva. So obviously, because if it were, then there's no real moment in terms of who comes to collect first and who precedes who. So Rishona Kodemes Lishnia, V'yarsha Rishona Kodmin. The Yarshe Shnia and the Yarshim of the first wife come before the Yarshim, and the Yarshim of the first wife come before the Yarshim of the second wife. So again, Rashi explains here. The Mishnah again is referring to a case where there were insufficient funds to pay both ksubas, and he also understands that the Mishnah is referring to the ksuva being collected from karka on which a lien is imposed in order to secure payment of the ksuva. And basically, what we're saying here is basically there are two creditors. You have a first second lien structure. The first wife has a first lien as a senior lien, and the second wife has a junior lien because the first wife's lien precedes in time the time of the second wife's lien because she was married to the guy first. Tosfos understands though that we're not talking necessarily about karka. We're not necessarily talking about formal liens and security interests. We could even be talking where the women are trying to collect from a taltlin. The question is who has kadima when they're coming and when they're making a taina. So far what we've seen in the Mishnah is the guy is married to two wives. The first wife takes precedence over the second wife. She has priority over the second wife. And the Yarshim of the first wife take priority over the Yarshim of the second wife. Now the Mishnah introduces a wrinkle. Nasas Rishona Umesa. If he marries the first wife and then she dies, the first wife dies. So in other words, so far in the marriage, you have the guy, you have his deceased wife, and you have some Yorshim from that first wife, some sons from that first wife. Then Nasa Shnia, then he marries a second wife, Umeis Hu, and then he dies. So now you have, again, you have Yorshim of the first wife, you have a second wife, and Yorshim of the second wife, no husband, because he's dead, and the first wife is dead too. So Shnia V'Yorshia, Kodmin L'Yorshia Rishona. So in that case, the second wife and her Yorshim come before the Yorshe Rishona when it comes to collecting the ksuva. Why? So Rashi explains over here, because first of all, what are the first kids collecting? Their mother predeceased the husband. So what are they collecting? So Rashi explains here, what they're collecting is they're collecting the ksubas benin dichrin. So the ksubas benin dichrin is a clause in the ksuba, it's a stipulation in the ksuba that the woman puts in to ensure that even if she predeceases her husband, the husband is going to pay her yarshim, even though she's not around to collect, the husband is going to pay her yarshim the value of the ksuba and any dowry, any nichsei melug that she brings into the marriage. So Rashi explains here that the reason that the second wife and her Yorshim come first is because the second wife are coming not only midin Yorshim, they're coming midin Balchov, because they're coming midin Balchov, they're actually owed this ksuva and Yerusha, as opposed to the second, which is just totally midin Yerusha. We're going to see in the Gemara that ksuva's benin dichrin you don't have a status of a Balchov, it's totally alza status of Yerusha, whereas the payment of the ksuva that he owes the second wife upon his death, that's not a Yerusha, the wife isn't inheriting the ksuva, the estate is a Balchov, the estate owes the second wife the money, and a Balchov collects before the Yarshim. We'll see this in the Gemara. So says the Gemara like this, Midiktoni harishona kodemes lishnia, from the fact that we say that the first one takes precedence, the first one takes priority over the second wife, veloktoni harishona yeshla vashnia einla, and we don't say, oh, that the first wife gets to collect and the second wife does not get to collect, michlal di'i kodma shnia v'tafsa, it's mashma that if the second wife comes and jumps the line and runs ahead of the first wife and grabs some nechasim, then lo mafkinamina, then we would not we would not force her to disgorge those nechasim. Because it uses a lashon of kadima, it uses a lashon of priority, but it doesn't say the first one blanket has, the second one blanket doesn't have, because it's not the case. Yeah, the first one has priority, but if the second one would come and grab before the first one could come take, then in that case, we would not be mafkia what she took from her. We would not force her to disgorge. So shema mina. So what we see from here is balchov miucher. Shekodam v'gava, mashagava gava. So we see that if you have two balei chov, if you have two balei chov, one with a shtar that's earlier, one with a shtar that's later, and the second bal chov comes and jumps the line and tries to collect in front of the first bal chov, which is effectively what's happening here with the two women who have a ksuva, because again, we said the bal lagabe, his wife, is like a bal chov. So you have a woman who's a later creditor and a woman who's the earlier creditor, even though technically the earlier in time should come first. If the second one jumps the line and collects in front of the earlier one, what she collects is collected. We don't force her to disgorge. So says the Gemara, no, it's no raya. Liola meim lecha mashagava lo gava. That really we say, no, what she collected is not collected. In other words, the first one always has priority, and if the second one tries to jump the line, we force her to disgorge. She disgorges the payment that she collects, and she has to give it to the first one. Umay kodemes, and what does it mean? What does kodemes mean? Lagamri ktani. It means full stop. She is totally and absolutely first. That means she gets it, effectively. It's a way of saying that she gets it, and the second one doesn't get anything. Kedetnan ben kodem labas. And where do we see an instance of the word kodemes being used to imply not only priority, but also in absolute terms, this person gets something, the other person doesn't get anything? So the Gemara says, well, when you're talking about Dina Yerusha, in Dina Yerusha we say that ben kodem labas. And what does that mean? That if a person dies and he has sons and daughters, midina Yerusha midaraisa, then the sons get the Yerusha before the daughters. And if there's not enough of the daughters, then the daughters get nothing. Yet the Pasuk uses a term of kodem, and there's no way that the girls could come and grab the nechasim, grab the Yerusha before the boys. So here we have a raya that kodem means in absolute terms as well, not only in terms of priority. So ika da amri, there are some who say like this, midloktani im kadma shniya v'tasfa ein motziyim miyada, from the fact that it doesn't say in the Mishnah that if the second one tries to jump the line and preempt and grab in front of the first one, then we don't force her to disgorge, michlal de ikadma shniya v'tasfa mafkina mina. That the inference that we should be drawing from the Mishnah is that if she would come before this first wife, if the second wife would come before the first wife and try to seize the nechasim, then we would be mafkia the nechasim from her. We would force her to disgorge those nechasim. Shema mina balchov meuchar shakadam v'gava mashagava lo gava. So it's a raya from here in this lashon that if a second balchov comes and tries to jump the line and collect before the first balchov, what she collected is ineffective. We force her to disgorge and we force her to give over what she collected to the first balchov. That's the opposite inference that we're now trying to draw from the Mishnah. So says the Gemara, no, we're going to reject this inference as well. The olam eimelecha mashagava gava. That really we could say that, yeah, if she jumps the line, then she gets to collect what she wrongfully collected. But aidi detanashnia v'yarshea kodmin liyarshe harishona, because in the second case in the Mishnah, where we had the case where the guy marries a wife, where the guy marries a woman and then she dies, and then he marries a second woman and then he dies. Over there, we use a lashon of kedima, and we'll see over there in the second case in the Mishnah, in the Seif in the Mishnah, we are actually talking about a case where there is enough nechasim to go around to pay both the ksuva of the second wife plus the ksuvas benin dichrin of the first wife. Since in the Seif of the Mishnah we use the lashon of kodmin, that is therefore tananami rishona kodemes lishnia. Therefore, also over here, we use the lashon of the Rishona is kodemes lishnia. But it doesn't mean the Rishona is only kodemes lishnia, but the second one can come, but the second wife can come and grab the nechasim away from the first wife. No, what it means is that it's absolute. Absolutely, the first one comes before the second one. If the second one would try to come and jump the line, we would cause her to disgorge the nechasim. The reason that we use the lashon of kodemes is because we use the lashon of kodemes in the seifa. Therefore, we also use the lashon of kodemes in the reisha, even though it would not be explained in the conventional way. Good. So it says the Gemara. Now the Gemara is going to start analyzing here the seifa of the Mishnah. So Nasa Sarishona. So again, the case was where you have a guy, he marries a wife, has kids, then the first wife dies, leaving over kids from the first marriage, then he marries a second woman, and then that woman has kids, and then he dies. So at the end of the day, who do we have here at the trough trying to collect from his estate? We have a second wife and her kids, and the kids of the first wife. So says the Gemara like this. So Shmamina Tla. So we learn from this case of the Mishnah three things, three chidushim. Shmamina Echas Bachayev Echas Bamoso Yeshla and Ksuvas Benin Dichrin. That if we have that if we have the children of one woman who died during his lifetime, and the children of another woman who survived his death, then Yeshlan Ksuvas Benin Dichrin, then he does, then those children of the first wife still do have the Ksuvas Benin Dichrin, they still do get to collect the Ksuvas Benin Dichrin, Velo Chashinan Lin Suye, and we're not afraid that it's going, that collection of the Ksuvas Benin Dichrin is going to lead to quarreling over here. So in other words, Rashi explains. So over here, so if you look, let's see. Basically, we're not afraid that the Yorshim are going to push the children of the first wife away and say, get out of here. You guys have nothing to do here. The Ksubas Benin Dichrin is only so long as your mother's still alive. But once your mother died, there's no Ksubas Benin Dichrin. Yeah, they do get the Ksubas Benin Dichrin. So Mimai. So how do we know? Because midiktani shnia v'yorshea kodmen liyorshe rishona, because we say that the shnia, that the second wife and her yorshim come before the yorshim of the first wife. So miktim hu diktimi, because so it's obvious that they do take precedence, they do take priority over the yorshim of the first wife. Ha'iu shakli, ha'ika shakli. However, they do get to collect the Ksubas Benin, they do get to collect the Ksubas Benin Dichrin. So it's obvious that in the case of Echas Bechayev, Echas Bemoso, where you have both children from a wife who's already dead and children of a wife who's still alive, the children of the wife who already died do get to collect the Ksubas Benin Dichrin from the estate of the husband when he passes. That's one thing we see from here. Mishmamina, and we also see that ksuva nasis mosar lechavrta, that a ksuva can serve as a surplus for its friend. So what does that mean? A ksuva could serve as a surplus for his friend. So Rashi explains like this, that the yarshim of the deceased wife can only collect the ksuvas benin dichrin when there is a mosar in the estate, when there is an additional amount in this estate over and above the amount that's required to pay the Ksuvas Benin Dichrin. If there is only enough money in the estate to pay the amount in the Ksuvas Benin Dichrin, then they don't get to collect the Ksuvas Benin Dichrin, but everybody just divides up the estate evenly. There's no priority given to the children of the first wife, midin Ksuvas Benin Dichrin. So over here, what's the case in the Mishnah? The case in the Mishnah is where there's only enough money in the estate to pay the Ksuva of the second wife, and the ksuvas benin dichrin of the first wife, but there's no moser, there's no incremental here, except for the ksuva payment that has to be paid to the second wife. So what the Gemara says, we can be medayik from the Mishnah, is that the amount of money that's sufficient to pay the ksuva obligation of the second wife can serve as the moser dinar that causes, can serve as the incremental asset that causes the Ksuvas Benin Dichrin to take effect and then be paid to the children of the first wife. So why? So says the Gemara again, Vishma mina Ksuva nasis moser lechavrta mimai midlok tani im yeshsa moser dinar. Because the Mishnah never says that, oh, it's only true if there is a, it's only true if there is a Mosar Dinar, that the children of the first wife get to collect the Ksuvas Benin Dichrin, even if there is no Mosar Dinar. Why? Because really there is a Mosar, there is an incremental, there is an addition over the Ksuvas Benin Dichrin, and the additional amount of the Ksuvas Benin Dichrin is what has to be paid towards the Ksuva of the second wife. And it is what has to be paid to the Ksuva of the second wife. Shmamina, And the third chiddush is that ksuvas benin dichren lo tarfa mimishabdi. That the ksuvas benin dichren cannot be Torah from nechassim mishabadim. You can't collect it from nechassim that are leaned up, that have a lien. Why? Because if you wanted to say that the ksuvas benin dichren could be collected from karka that's meshuba to another balchov, so leisu b'nei rishon of l'terfinu l'v'nei shniya. Because if that were the case, then again, the assets of the husband are meshuba to the payment of the ksuba of the second wife. So if the ksuvas benin dichren could come and collect even from the chasim mishubadim, then the children of the first wife could go and collect from the money that otherwise would have gone to pay the ksuba of the second wife, because the nechassim are meshubah to the ksuvah of the second wife, and they could have gone and collected from those nechassim. From the fact that they can't, from the fact that you pay the ksuvah of the second wife first, then you give the ksuvahs benin dichren to the children of the first wife, it's obvious that you cannot collect the ksuvahs benin dichren from nechassim mishubadim. So those are the three chidushim that the Gemara says are implied from the Mishnah. So says the Gemara, Maskef l'Ravashi, so says Frektor Ravashi, Mimai, how do we know this? Dilma li olam emelecha echas b'chayev echas b'moso, ein lang ksuvas benin dichren. I might say that in a case of echas b'chayev echas b'moso, if you have children of a first wife who died during the husband's lifetime, and then you have a wife and children, a second wife and children who died, who are still alive when the husband dies, maybe they don't get the, maybe the children of the first wife do not get the ksuvas benin dichren. Umay kodmin l'nach l'ktani. And what do we mean when we say kodmin? It means lanachla. It means lanachla. Not that the children of the first wife are collecting anything midin ksuvas benin dichren, but let's say you have a ksuva, the ksuva is worth $200, and there's $400 in the estate. So then the first thing that goes is the estate of the husband has to pay the second wife the ksuva, because that's nechasim mishabadim, the 200. Then you have 200 left over. So then the woman and her yorshim and the yorshim of the first wife, they're dividing now a nachla. It's all b'toras nachla. It's all b'toras inheritance, and they should divide it equally. How do you know that we're talking here about a ksuvas benin dichren, that they're getting something that's outside the framework of a typical Yerusha? Maybe it works typical Yerusha here. So says the Gemara, V'chite Mayorsha Rishona Lamali. But is says the Gemara, if so, why are you introducing here the concept of Yerusha Rishona? So I did the Tana, Shniya V'Yerusha, Tananami liyarshe rishonis. In other words, the kasha of the Gemara is, if you're telling me that what the children of the first wife is collecting is not midin ksuvas benin dichren, but it's midin their status as yorshim of the husband, so why are we referring to them as yorshe harishona, yorshim of the first wife? We don't care who their mother was. We don't care which wife of the husband their mother was. They're collecting midin Yerusha. They're being Yorish the father. They're not being Yorish the mother. The mother's already dead. So why are we referring to them as Yorsha Rishona? Obviously, we're referring to them as Yorsha Rishona because whatever they're collecting is coming mekoach their mother as a ksuvas benin dichren. So says the Gemara, no, we refer to them as Yorsha Rishona because we refer to the second wife as Shnia v'Yorsheh. That's why we refer to the first kids as Yorsha Rishona, not that they're collecting midin the mother. They could be collecting stam nachla from a mitoras yoresh of the father. Good. So far the Gemara has proven that the first diuk that we wanted to make, that the echos b'chayev echos b'moso has a din of ksubas benin dichren, may not necessarily be correct. V'dekla amrit, and now the other diuk, the second diuk that you wanted to make of ksuvas nasas moser l'chavrta, that the ksuva itself could serve as the moser dinar for its friend in order to allow the ksubas benin dichren to go into effect. Duma liyolam emelecha in ksuva nasas moser l'chavrta. Maybe the amount that's meshuba to the payment of the ksuva cannot serve as the incremental that will cause the ksuva's benin dichren to spring into effect. V'hacha, I over here, then in that case, why is there a ksuva's benin dichren? V'hacha, hu d'ika moser dinar. Why? We're talking about a case of moser dinar. There is a moser dinar. There's enough money in the estate to pay the ksuva of the second wife, the ksuva's benin dichren of the kids of the first wife, and one extra dinar. That's why the moser goes into effect. Ve'echas b'chayev, echas b'moso tanayi. And now says the Gemara that echas b'chayev, echas b'moso, in a case where you have the children of a woman who predeceases her husband and children then of the second wife, whether ksuvas benin dichren applies is a machlokas tanam. The Tanya, Because we learn in a brisa, mesu echas b'chayiv echas b'moso. If you have a case of echas b'chayiv echas b'moso, benana somer yecholam b'nei arishona lomer l'bnei shnia b'nei balas chov atem tluk subas imchem v'tzu. That basically the second the children of the first wife can tell the children of the second wife, look, you guys are b'nei balas chov. You guys are the b'nei balas chov because our father was a bal chov to pay the ksuva that he wrote to your mother. His second wife. So go take whatever is written in the ksuva and then get out of here. You're not, then don't be yorish us as far as the rest of the, you're not going to be yorish together with us as far as the rest of the assets. Just take the money that's written in the ksuva as a balchov, mitoris balchov, and get out of here and let us then collect midin ksuvas ben indichrin. And Rabbi Kiva, Mark Far Kopsa Nachla, Milifnei b'nei Rishona, v'nachla b'nei Shnia. No, that there can't be, that the Nachla already jumped from the children of the first wife and went to the children of the second wife. Why? Because obviously the children of the first wife don't have the ksuvas benin dichrin if their mother died before the father and then there was another wife with kids who survived the father. So my labav kamefligi demar savar echas b'chayev echas b'moso yesh lang ksuvas benin dichrin, that's benanas. Umark savar echas b'chayev echas b'moso ein lang ksuvas benin dichrin, that's Rabbi Akiva. So Amar Rabba, Ashkachtinu l'rabbanon debei rav the yasvi v'kaamri to kuli alma echas b'chayev echas b'moso yesh lang ksuvas benin dichrin. Everybody says that in the case of echas b'chayev echas b'moso that we've been discussing in the Mishnah, there is a ksuvas benin dichrin. V'hacha b'ksuvas nasa moso l'chaverta then v'hu adin l'bal chov kamiflugi. And over here we're arguing whether the ksuva itself, whether the amount, again, in order for the ksuvas benin dichrin to go into effect, there has to be some amount in the estate over and above the ksuvas benin dichrin. The machlokas is whether if there is not a free and unencumbered dinar in the estate, but there's only an incremental equal to the amount that's meshuba to the payment of the ksuva of the second wife, or an incremental equal to the amount that's meshuba to pay a creditor of the deceased, whether that incremental amount that's already meshubad can serve as the moser dinar to cause the ksuvah's benedikrin to go into effect. So marsav our ksuvah nasas moser l'chavrta. One says that, one man the Amar says that the ksuvah itself can serve as the moser dinar to enable the ksuvah's benedikrin to go into effect. V'adin l'bal chov. U'marsav our ink ksuvah nasas moser l'chavrta. And the other man the Amar says that the ksuvah itself, the amount that's meshubad itself, cannot serve as the moser dinar to trigger the effectiveness of the ksuvas benin dichrin, vuadin labal chov. And similarly, if you have an amount that's meshubah to a bal chov, that amount itself cannot cause the effectiveness of the ksuvas benin dichrin. It has to be something that's totally unencumbered. V'aminu luhu ana. And I say that b'balchov kuliyam alo pligi davi mosar, that by a balchov, everybody agrees. If it's not a balchov, if let's say there's enough to pay the ksuvas benin dichrin and there's an extra $100, but the deceased owed a creditor $100 for a loan, that amount can certainly serve, as a mosar, because this is a Yerusha Midaraisa, and therefore it takes effect even though the only mosar is an amount that was leaned up to a balchov. Ki pligi b'ksuva. When do they argue? They only argue with respect to a ksuva. So maskef l'Rav Yosef iachi. If that's the case, so Rav Akiva Omer kvar kopta nachla. So Rav Akiva says, well, Rav Akiva says again, what do we have in the prior brisa that we quoted? We had a machlokas ben nanas Rav Akiva whether the children of the first wife can say to the children of the second wife, take ksuva and get out of here and let us take the ksuva's benin dichrin. And then Rav Akiva says, no, the children of the first wife don't have any taina because they already lost the ksuva's benin dichrin. Well, no, they didn't. What you're telling me now is that everybody says echas b'chayev echas b'mos, so they do have ksuvas benin dichrin, and it's all totally on whether there's a moser dinar. See, achi Rav Akiva mar kvar kafsa nachla em yesh moser dinar mi baile. Rav Akiva's din should be totally on whether there's a moser dinar. If there is no moser dinar, then you're right. Ksuvas benin dichrin doesn't take effect. But if there is a moser dinar, then ksuvas benin dichrin does take effect. Selam Rav Yosef echas b'chayev echas b'mos kamifli. You're right. We are arguing about echas b'chayev echas b'moso. V'hani tanoi ki hani tanoi. And the machlokas tanoim is like this machlokas tanoim. D'tanya, nasar surishona umesa, nasar shashniya umes hu, bon banea shalzu, the children of the second wife can come and say, la'achar misa v'notlan ksuvas iman, and take the ksuva of their mother. Rav Shimon Omer, im yesh moser dinar, that if there is a moser dinar, elo notlan ksuvas iman, ve'elo notlan ksuvas iman. That if there is a moser dinar, then these guys get to collect their ksuva, and the children of the first woman could collect their ksuvas benin dichrin. Vim lav, Cholkin b'shava. And if not, then they divide evenly. So my lava kamifligi. So aren't we talking about? So in other words, Rashi explains that we pay off the ksuva of the second wife. We obviously pay off the ksuva of the second wife because she's still alive. But as far as the remainder of the state, the first guys don't get to jump the line and collect the ksuvas ben indichrin. Rather, they divide everything evenly. So my lava kamifligi. The mar saver echos b'chay vechos b'mosa yeshlam ksuvas ben indichrin. Umar saver echos b'chay vechos b'mosa einlam ksuvas ben indichrin. So don't we see, haven't we established that the machlokes is whether the ksubas ben indichrin or not? Let's just finish up one more line. Lo, de kuliam echus b'chai vechus b'mosa yeshlem ksubas ben indichrin. Everybody says that really there is a ksubas ben indichrin in this case. Vacha b'dinar mekarkoi kamifilgi. Over here we're talking about, yeah, and you do need a moser dinar in order for the ksubas ben indichrin to take effect, but what sort of extra dinar do we need? Of what value in the estate does there have to be in order for the ksubas ben indichrin to take effect? Mar savra mekarkoi im metaltali. Lo, mar savra apilo metaltali. One man d'amar says that the extra dinar has to take the form of karka, and the other man the amar will say, no, it doesn't have to be karka, even if there's only mitaltlin and an extra dinar, the ksubas ben indichrin does take effect. So God willing, Rabbi Leibowitz will pick up from here tomorrow.